You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, online at cjsf.ca, broadcasting from Burnaby, BC, home of McFog the Dog.
You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Got a light? It's time for Smokes.
Welcome to the Smokes episode, folks, where everything in life is worth discussing. Today, I'm your host, good old boy Barger, and to my left is good old boy Mike.
Hey, it's a boot time. You got to me.
In front of me is good old boy Benjamin.
You gonna skin that smoke wagon or stand there and bleed?
Hey-o. And to my right is good old boy Nate.
How's it going?
Happy New Year again, fellas. This is our second episode of this new year, 2024.
Yeah.
That's right. We're the best thing on at 2 a.m., right before Budget Law with Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe. And right after the new hit show, Barger says the darndest things. It's taking off. We're going to get there, folks. As you know, I hope some of you know, our smoke segments are all about cigars and, well, anything that you can smoke. As for today's segment, drum roll please. We're wandering in the Canadian desert with Havana Castle, with a Canadian takeover.
It's about poutine, isn't it?
That's right. So strap on and hang in tight. We're going to have fun today.
Please
but
stop
don't
saying
worry.
The word strap on.
I brought the lube.
I hear all the Canadian censors just go, cut them right here, yeah, right here, right here.
Cut them right there.
Right here.
If you miss anything, don't worry. You can download the full episode from anywhere that you view or listen to podcast from.
View podcast?
Yeah, it's a new thing. They're trying to, you know, it's whatever. But before we dive into the shallow end of the pool, don't forget your helmet and the buddy system.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your buddy?
It's about your booty.
You have a buddy?
It's about your booty.
Oh,
eh?
How are you? Turns off, buddy.
It's a boot.
So if you're a cigar newbie, fret not. We got you covered in our Cigar 101 episode where all the cigar speak will be decoded. Just search for Sip, Suds, and Smokes 101 in that episode, and it should pop right up in the link, and you should be able to listen to it. If you can't, then, you know, try turning it off and back on again. But good old boy Benjamin gets the honors of going over our smokes ratings today.
So today, we'll be smoking and discussing these cigars and rating them with our Sip, Suds, and Smokes rating.
We should stand for this.
Plus our signature sounds.
Everyone ready? Will you sing with me, standing in unison? Okay, be seated.
Thank you. Thank you.
Along with the ratings, we also get the smoke sounds. Thank you. So here are those ratings now. Rating one. This sucked even before it was lit. If it gets a two, at least I lit it. A rating of three. I'd smoke this again. Four. How much you want for them?
Magnificent.
And the coup de grace, rating number five. Where are they? I need a box.
It's about time you bought a box.
Oh, you betcha.
Right. About time. So before we get into our reviews of these cigars, are you sorry?
I'm sorry.
Are you sorry? Yeah. I want to just tell you guys, I had a really good trip with my wife. We went to Canada.
Eh?
I'm sorry.
We went to this little tiny podunk ass town called Owen Sound.
Hmm.
How'd it sound?
Owen. which was a super interesting town. But next to it was another town, and I done forgot the name. Collingswood.
Banned once again.
Nope, it's Collingswood. I forgot it, but I remembered it. Got it. So in Collingswood was a cigar shop called Havana Castle. The cigar shop was really clean and really nice on the inside, and the guy named Denny Liggins, I think is his name.
Oh, it's Denny Liggins.
Denny Liggins, yeah.
I'm sorry.
Was the cigar shop manager. Super nice guy, very hospitable. Took me in the humidor where I was thoroughly confused. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a humidor in Canada. Have you been, Nate?
It's been a while.
So every cigar, even brands that we know and love, all have a gray label with white writing on them. Doesn't matter what it is. The actual cigar band is underneath the gray label. And I assume that's to prevent young people to go, oh, that's pretty. I want to buy that. But it makes everything so confusing. It's like walking into a doctor's office and not knowing what's happening. Yeah, how did I even get to the doctor's at that point? And another thing is you can't smoke indoors in Canada, which is horrible. So I'm like, me and my wife, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to go to the cigar shop and smoke a cigar and meet some locals and hang out and do the things that I do when we travel. And I got there and I start to pull a cigar out and they're like, whoa, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm going to smoke a cigar.
No, you're not.
Nope. 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 You're going to.
How about you don't?
He's like, you got to go 30 meters away. And I was like,
have poutine with that,
I was like, what's a meter? What's a meter?
What's a meter?
I mean, I didn't have to pay a meter to come in here. Like, I got to go 30 of them away. So anyway, it was a good time. The shop was awesome. Denny was great. And I had a really good time. We actually pulled some chairs outside and we broke the law. Where we sat there and smoked cigars. Oh, it was God, great. Gasp. And I did get to meet some locals, which was awesome. Yee-haw! And it was about like that. It was a good time for sure. So, you know, what's interesting about this brand is this is their house brand. So this is their house brand. And it's labeled Havana Castle is the name of their cigar brand, which is the name of their cigar shops, which are only in Ontario, Canada.
Yeah, it looks like it's a partnership, a co-partnership between the Rozick brothers, Alex and Andy.
Yeah.
And seems like all of their house blends come out of Esteli, Nicaragua, with Papito Gomez being the lead blender. Alejandro Robinia says he's one of Cuba's most revered tobacco growers, made his way into Nicaragua, and has been the master blender for Havana Castle cigars since its inception.
So what's interesting and what we're going to find out, folks, about these cigars as we go through them is we're just not even going to mention the binder filler wrapper because all the information we have is they're Nicaraguan.
They're puros through and through.
Puros through and through. So that, if you're wondering what they are, binder, filler, wrapper for every cigar we're going to talk about is Nicaraguan.
Looks like a pretty solid growth, too. It says in 98.
Hold on. Filler, binder, wrapper.
Nailed it. Sir. That a boy.
We're gonna change these.
Quick learner.
So in my brain, the alphabetical binder, filler, wrapper is just where my brain goes. Sorry, it's a Kentucky education. You can blame the public educational system for that.
But yeah, so starting this journey in 1998, producing just under 500 cigars yearly to now well over a half a million cigars currently.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible.
They had a lot to offer, and we only got, four offerings to go over.
I do have an interesting thought that just popped in my head. It's fine. Well, it's just with the whole Nicaraguan puro thought there's not a lot of people who use Nicaraguan wrapper leaf for everything. Yeah. For, I mean, It's really distinct, and especially like the people who do it are known for being having their own fields and farms, and it sounds like they have their own factory, but
So from my understanding, they have their own factory and fields and farms.
So, but I just track with me, and I may be wrong on this. It's a theory. You like theories.
I love it. Let's go.
But my theory is, I wonder, because I know Canada has such strict laws, I wonder if for them, they present it as a Nicaraguan puro because they're representing the country of origin where it's being shipped into the country as. And I'm curious if that's it, because I wonder if for their government, if they started throwing other countries into the mix. Just a thought. Maybe I'm wrong.
So that's possible.
Because they're normally used to dealing with Cubans.
That would be lame.
Yeah. According to Havana Castle.
I mean, it's a very plausible idea. I like your theory.
No, it's a great theory. It's a great theory.
And aliens hang out in Saskatchewan. Yeah.
But according to Havana Castle's website, Papito Gomez, Cuban born, but then produced on his own 40-acre plantation dubbed Finca La Piña, located in Chuquillas de Barbacoa.
Love some barbacoa.
100%. Says that right now the cigar's quality can still be appreciated in top-of-the-line Cohibas, Esplendidos, and Joya de Monterrey Double Coronas, which are internationally renowned for their aroma, burn, draw, and construction. As a mentoring relationship, these specific artisan traits have now been attentively passed down to Gomez through the hands-on training and masterly guidance of Robinia.
Yeah.
Years later in Nicaragua, Papito has grown to similar cult status himself, where he blends and rolls for other world-class luxury
words. Words are hard. All right, so I did try one of the house blend cigars while I was there that was a Cuban seed grown in Nicaragua, they said.
Hmm.
You guys didn't get to try them. I got to try it.
And thanks a lot, Barger. Yeah,
that's my fault. It's 100% because I'm not paying these Canadian prices for these things that I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
And so I bought one.
Sure.
And it was a great cigar. I enjoyed it. I liked it. You know, I'm not going to go home and smoke them every day, but that Cuban seed one that they have, and I didn't even get the name of it. There's no band on it. It was just a house blend cigar. There it is. That's it. But it was good. I liked it. So I don't know. We're gonna
with poutine.
Yeah. Listen, I ate
did
poutine.
You dip the tip of it in gravy?
Bro, listen, when I was in Canada, I ate poutine every meal.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sorry. It was amazing. Amazing.
Clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, and I hope you enjoyed those commercials, but we are talking about Havana Castle cigars out of Ontario, Canada. We want to touch a little bit about house blending cigars. So that's a good conversation that we were having during the break about house blend cigars, about house blend cigars and kind of what's the steps beside of them and how do we go about them? Because some house blends just, have a shoebox salesman that come in and just are like, I want to blend this for you. And they're like, yes, we want you to blend this for us.
Well, And so the big thing is many retailers, you know, you go into a shop and there's a lot of people who ask about the house blend. And to me, you know, I think of a house blend almost being like a well whiskey. It's kind of that, like,
yep.
It's a Maduro, it's a Habano, it's a Connecticut, and it smokes good, and I know I can come back to it day in, day out.
Consistency.
So, yeah, when I think of what the consumer would look for, that's what I would think from. So a lot of the shops, you know, it kind of just, it depends on the manufacturer. I would say most house blends are not going to be situations where it's like you're going to the factory and you're picking out the blend, or you're, you know, it's more so a lot of those are manufacturers say, hey, we've got these 10 blends. Here you go. Would you like to pick this? And then it's, you know, and because of being able to have it all the time, you buy it in larger quantities. So you have that. And then you have where people will actually create specific lines with existing brands. But
yeah,
normally house cigars to me are things that should be under that average price. You know, right now they should be $10 or under, and it should be just a reliable utility cigar. And most shops, they, you know, it's
a good intro cigar.
Most shops who pick it are going to work with a factory that's already producing a lot of cigars, and they have programs. There's usually companies you can trust who are going to put those out for you.
Yeah.
And to me, there's a lot of people. You hear, you know, Mike kind of brought that up. I will tell you, there's people who call all the time into my shop who say, oh, you know, we've got this company and we're in Miami and we can sell you these cigars for this much. There are those people out there who are that, like, door-to-door person.
Shoe salesman.
I would say, depends on your retail. You know, you go to South Florida and you might see 20 different house blends in a shop, and they may have something like that. But if you go to a shop and you see 2 to 3 or 4 house blends, to me, it should just be a solid standby that you can go to always, and good construction, good burn. They're really just made to be consistent. That's the big thing.
Well, and, you know, I think that usually when I tend to think of things that are house brands, period, be it a cigar or a whiskey or wine or anything like that, it's about the margin, you know, and they're usually, they fall in one of two categories, I think, from my perspective. One is that they're there for people that are not looking for something distinctive in that particular product. So I've been to, you know, several cocktail bars, especially that they want to offer a cigar that, you know, is not necessarily is their house brand. And so they're not really looking to be a cigar bar. They're looking for it to be a cocktail place that you can purchase a cigar at.
It's like, oh, let me pair this with this because we can make more money.
Right. And so it's really about making sure that someone is there to complete the experience and not really, you know, I'm going there to have a, you know, an amazing, you know, Crown Heads, you know, Texas Rose that, you know, I can't get back home, Yellow Rose. Thank you. But, you know, the other category is that it is about margin, and it's about, you know, instead of, you know, that margin really going to somebody else, I want to keep that margin in house. And so there are things there for, you know, the in-house staff to pump, and they're looking for people that are like, yeah, you know what, you're not really that, you don't really care, you know, why don't you start with one of our house cigars? And
and even like my shop, when we first brought in our first house cigar, and I can tell you this, that Barger over here, he took full advantage of this, but we used to run this deal all the time where if you bought any four cigars,
full advantage,
any four cigars in our humidor, didn't matter what it was, you got a house cigar for free, because we were trying to promote it and we wanted people to know it. But so even with that, there, you know, a lot of shops do all kinds of different promotions with it and different things. And you're right. It's just that thing where it's like, if you buy a house cigar from a shop, you should know that you are helping support that shop.
So here's why I took advantage of that. And I'm not necessarily taking advantage.
No, I didn't mean take advantage in a good way.
Take advantage.
Here's why. So with the house cigars that you guys provided, I knew that I was going to get a solid construction cigar that I didn't have to think about. And I knew what it was going to be every time, right? So there was no discerning factors of, well, if I'm not in the mood for this, I'm not in the mood for that. If I'm in the mood to smoke a cigar and I don't know what I want, I'm going to grab a house cigar. In my brain. But that's just how I'm wired. So if I've got an excess of these because I went and bought some of the stuff that I wanted to smoke but didn't know what the, you know, the exact time or date or whatever my mood was that I wanted to smoke that in, I knew I could rely on that house cigar to go, well, you know what, it's going to get me in the mood to smoke something. So, you know, if I get done with that and I'm like, hey, I still want to smoke another cigar, I'm going to go, you know, what's on my flavor profile right now? What's going to blend well with that? You know, with two cigars that are going to smoke good together. And I would use those cigars for that. But I would also use those cigars to introduce people. So, like, yeah, I would get those cigars for, you know, free or whatever by buying cigars, but I would also take them to non-cigar smokers and go, you know what? I don't want to waste $15, $12 on you, not necessarily you as in like as a person, but like if you don't know what you like and you don't know what you want to smoke, I can say, hey, try this.
So you're saying your third least favorite cousin that took last piece of bacon, you would give them that cigar.
Listen, that bacon was crispy and I really enjoyed it and they ruined it for me. So, but no, like I could hand that cigar to a cigar newbie and be like, hey, did you like this? Tell me what you didn't like. And that will help me guide someone into something that might better suit their flavor profile. Does that make sense?
Yeah, for sure.
Thought that's what the Swishers were for.
Well, you know, just backwards. The wood tips. Mm. Yeah, the wood tips.
Well, the jazz and black and
white. So I'm going to throw out a question, but I don't want you guys to answer it now. I want you to think about it for a bit. Do you think of house blend cigars as being better, average, or below average in general? So I want you to think about the question. We'll come back around to the question in a bit.
Let's get into the first cigar of this line here. We're going to start with the Maduro.
All right.
And we're going to have Nate tell us all about it.
Sorry, I'm raring to go over here.
It's all right. I just want to disclose this. Before we get into this, I was given no information about these cigars. I had to pull everything offline.
I'm sorry.
From what I could find.
Oh, it's so sorry.
From what I could find. And they provide Havana Castle. Thank you so much for providing us with cigars for this. We definitely enjoyed our experience and tasting your cigars.
Hey, Jose, here's another one for your collection, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, thanks for that. And you know, here we go with what little information we have tonight.
Alrighty. So, if you want a lot of body from a cigar, you'll find that one of our beloved Black Havana Castle really fits the bill. It's for the mature smoker who wants more bold and strong taste. The cigar is loaded with earthy characters, and it provides tons of impressive and pleasurable richness. Designed specifically for full body fans, this popular cigar features a dark, spicy, and fragrant wrapper, which is a leaf grown from a Cuban seed. Its filler, origin, and binder are Nicaraguan.
They love some full-bodied.
Right?
Hey-o. And what were the filler binder wrappers?
Nicaragua.
That's what the information we have, folks. But let's go ahead and rate it, guys. What did you think?
You want to rate it up front?
Yeah, let's rate it up front.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a 3 across the board. Tell me a little bit about what you thought about smoking the cigar, Mike, because I know you've been itching at the microphone.
No. So I wrote down nice even burn, easy draw, kind of one-dimensional, not really that big, booming Maduro, you know, kind of cocoa, apple, some of the other things. You know, sometimes when I pick up the Maduro, you know, I have this, It's I call it the Drew effect.
Shout out Drew.
Drew, you hoser.
Hey, you know, for sure.
Can I get you a beer? Back bacon?
Yeah. It's going to come with, you know, a lot of presence about it and a lot of flavor. And this just wasn't that. It didn't have that, you know, again, that big booming, you know, pronounce your presence with authority, you know, coming around. I know we're going to talk about this a little bit, but all these sticks were enormous. They're huge. Huge ring gauge. These were
girth.
Yeah. So a lot going on, you know. So if it seemed like we had a lot to write, it's because we had plenty of time with each of these sticks.
Yeah, we did.
For sure.
We did. And I'll say this. So I mentioned earlier that the house cigar that you guys didn't get to try that I did, it was in the ring gauge that we're used to. Like, it was about a 50 ring gauge. And so it was very pleasant for me. So But everything in this cigar line is like 55 or higher.
Yes.
And it's man, it's a workout.
I wish to register a complaint.
Yeah. You had to stare it down.
Yeah.
As you were like,
even for the length, like it was a Robusta length,
am
but
I qualified
it was
to smoke something as big?
54 well, ring gauge.
Yeah.
Well, and like, guys, think about that weather we just had last week here in Tennessee. I mean, it was cold. We had a bunch of snow. I mean, that's Canada all the time.
Yeah.
Where you want to smoke, sit out there and smoke that?
I guess you got to be born into it, though.
Maybe so, in my ice fishing tent.
Yeah.
No, yeah, right, and that's exactly, that's the other thing too, is even like living in that climate, right, you find ways to survive, and they probably are sitting, you know, over an ice hole, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Just having a fish, looking for some pike.
Smoking a 60
right?
ring gauge.
Yeah, with a propane heater, and you know, that's all you got is
some
time.
Poutine.
Yeah. Putting some gravy on
right
some
there,
trays.
Right there in the ice shack.
Yeah, poutine's the jam, I'm just saying.
I did find
gravy, not jam.
Well, that's fair.
Okay.
I did find a little bit more in my some of my notes here. So some of the flavor profile I had was cocoa, applewood, a dusty horse blanket was some of the other
flavor
profile.
Did you say horse blanket?
Horse blanket.
Oh.
Yes. No, not strawberry lube.
Well, that's
here we go.
That was the last episode.
Drink.
Yeah. Got him.
Buffalo.
Benjamin, what'd you think about it?
Man, you know, I think that I'm right in line there with Mike. These are... You know, they embody a house smoke to me. They're not super complex. They're not really going to knock you down with, you know, really diving deep in with flavor profile notes and those kind of things.
Hey, I'm Maduro. Right. I'm here in the setup shop.
These, you know.
Your sister's looking pretty good.
Not in a negative connotation, but this is a classic yard gar, right? This is something that you're puffing on while you're out, you know,
if you got
breaking
mow an
leaves
acre.
And yeah, right.
Or two.
So, you know, it,
what's
as,
up, neighbor?
Yeah.
Hey. Hey, hoser.
Hey, neighbor. Yeah.
Hey, can I borrow your hose?
But definitely one of those things and one of those smokes that, yes, it had some of those common baseline Maduro flavors, right?
Yeah.
But definitely not going to knock you down with any complexity. Not super strong. Right, it had a bit of body to it, but not overwhelming on the nicotine strength.
See, I thought it was approachable for a Maduro.
No, 100%.
But it was an intro Maduro, if that makes any sense.
Well, and honestly, I mean, I was kind of just thinking, even it's like, you know, it's a cigar.
Yeah,
but
for sure.
To me, it's like, it's kind of like the beer world where, like, if you're, you know, if you're into barrel aged beers, you're like, oh my gosh, what people are doing and the depths and all this stuff.
If I had that 30 pounds back, I would take it back.
Right, exactly. But then, you know, then, I mean, don't get me wrong, I ain't harping on Guinness at all. But, you know, to me, if you, then you have a Guinness.
I
and
love
you're,
Guinness.
What?
I love Guinness.
Hey, I ain't harping on it, you know. But, but to me, it's that thing of like, it's just, they're different worlds. They're just totally different worlds. And to me, Guinness is a beer. This is a cigar.
Let's not kill Kenny over
hit
it.
That note. That's yeah.
Tell us how you really feel. But I think that is the most spot on description, right? This is, this is a cigar. Right. And not with any negative connotation, but it's not something that just absolutely blew me away.
Right.
But I, you know, like I said, three across the board, it definitely would get smoked again.
So next up, we've got the Blue Habano, and Mike is going to tell us all about it.
Yeah. So the Blue Habano, here's some of the description we have for that. If it's a medium bodied cigar, tends to provide you with the most cigar smoking pleasure. Then we recommend our Blue Series H Medium. You'll find that it has great depth, and that's the perfect complement to a good cup of Joe in the morning. Since it does have enough richness and dimension to retain its character, even when accompanied by bold food or drink, or poutine. It's a versatile cigar to enjoy with beverages and meals. Thank God this Vegemite's not involved. Of course, it's also great on its own. So
Vegemite, yikes.
Vegemite, so when you actually do get to look at the label, it is blue. And
definitely blue.
It is labeled original series on the cigar itself. I wrote down a classic Habano, mild wood, hints of leather, kind of a whisper of mint, Yeah, you know, I just thought it was kind of pretty average, you know, once again.
Kind of ho-hum.
Yeah, kind of ho-hum. You know, yeah, just, it was definitely, you know, somebody walked into Nate's shop and said, you know, what's a classic Habano, you know, taste profile? Boom, there you go, you know, so.
Yeah. I actually really liked this Habano. Not going to lie. I thought it was very much a run-of-the-mill Habano flavor.
Oh, I'm sorry. The binder filler wrapper is Nick Rock.